The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
It is time once again, ladies and gentlemen, for Finally Friday. I'm Stephen Schleicher. Thank you for downloading and thank you for tuning in this week to this live show. So glad to have you. So glad that we are in at the end of the week. I think, to be honest, for me, this isn't Finally Friday. This is Frustrated Friday. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Talk about why I'm frustrated. Talk about angry. And definitely we want to get your phone calls on the Skype line, Steven_Schleicher, or you can call me at 785-727-1939. There's the phone number there on the screen. I want to talk about advice today, different types of advice. There are all kinds of the different types of advice that people can give you. Oh, before I get out to it, if you don't want to watch the video stream, if you don't want to wait until late Friday or Saturday to access the show on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed, you can listen live in your car on your mobile device thanks to our friends over at Alpha Geek Radio. There's a link there on the website if you want to copy that in and listen to everything that that goes on over at Alpha Geek Radio. A lot of Frog Pants stuff over there if you're into that. So, yeah, thanks to GnomeWise and Todd. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of an idiot because Todd told me what to do and I didn't do it. And now we've got that resolved and I'm glad. And hopefully you're listening live right now on Alpha Geek Radio. Hello, everyone. Channel 1. So back to advice. There are all types of different advice. The first kind is unsolicited advice from non-experts, right? You're walking down the street and some guy pulls up in the car and says, "Hey, fatty, lose some weight," and peels off and drives off. Well, yeah, that's unsolicited advice. Not something that I'm not unaware of, okay? Or, hey, you guys should change your website color to purple instead of green. That would be a whole lot. Well, what do you know? The person may not know. Maybe somebody's saying, you know, some person on the street doesn't like the color of Target and wants everything changed to blue. That's the unsolicited type of advice. You don't always have to listen to unsolicited advice, but sometimes there are some good nuggets of information in there. Then you've got advice that comes to you from your loved one, right? My wife kisses me this morning. She says, "Ooh, you really should shave." And it's like, yes, you know what? You are right. Because I don't like looking like this. For those of you watching on the stream, I'm sorry. I do look like a scruffy nerf herder today. I don't like to shave. I wish we had a shaving sponsor of some kind. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But you know, she's right. But it's because of my own fault of not planning ahead, not listening, that because I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning working on website and server issues. And then by the time I did wake up and deal with a stomach problem or flu or something that I've got going on, it was time to take the kids to school. And so I didn't have time to shave my face. And so I've got to accept the fact that I didn't listen to my wife and shave. And so now the result is this is what you're seeing on your screen. So I apologize for that. Then there is advice from people that you trust, right? A lot of times people contact me and say, "Stephen, you're knowledgeable about this. Can you tell me what kind of equipment that you're using? Can you tell me about some things that you do? Do you have some advice on how to fix things?" Now, that is solicited. Sometimes there's opinions from people that you trust dearly, and they come up to you and say, "Hey, I like what you're doing, but have you thought about doing this?" And if you truly respect that person and you listen to that person, sometimes their advice can be very, very helpful. Now, last week, We had a great phone call from Nicole Spagnolo. She has a couple of podcasts, casts in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network, one of them being the Ladies Elite. She's got Nerd Parents, which I've been on several times before, and I love Nicole. Nicole is a great person. She's someone that I got to know through the Frog Pants Network. She's someone that I got to know from being involved and interested in what her husband does. Her husband, Mark Spagnolo, who is the Wood Whisperer, and if you've ever been to their site, you know it's a great site, and they've created a great community. And so whenever I'm trying to develop my website, and I go to Nicole and say, Nicole, I would really like some advice from you. Can you help me grow Major Spoilers to be bigger and better than what it was? And she gave me all sorts of reading assignments. She gave me all sorts of things to do. In fact, you know, here I've got pages and pages and pages of notes from months of discussion that Nicole and I have had, and emails that she has sent me, reading assignments that she sent me. And we've developed lists, and we are working on things. Some of the contests that we've run in the past are thanks to Nicole. And even though I haven't gotten to everything on the list, we're prioritizing things. I'm just myself trying to run everything. But I think that because of her advice, because I listen, I think we're doing some things that are a lot better than what we've done in the past. And I appreciate her for that. And I love listening to advice that she gives. Now, again, not all advice is going to be advice that you're going to be able to use or want to use or have to use or those kinds of things. But at least you should take it under advisement. Then there's the last type of advice, the type of advice that you pay for. This is where my frustration comes from this week, ladies and gentlemen. So some of you know that I've been hired to do some consulting work. I think I mentioned it last week. Again, I just came back from it. That's why I'm not wearing the fancy makeups and the fancy clothings, and that's why I'm not shaved. I know. Well, you went to do your consulting gig non-shaved. Well, that's okay, because if you're paying someone for advice, it must mean that you value what they have to say. And unfortunately, the people that hired me to do the consulting are not the people that I have to interact with every day. And over the last couple of weeks, I've told these people, hey, you need to make sure that this is corrected. You need to do this. You need to make these changes. You need to start instigating these things. And then I didn't go in yesterday, probably a good thing. But I go in today and people are just jumping all over me about the quality of a product that was released by this group that I'm consulting with. And I looked at it and I said, well, you know what? These are all the things that I told them to avoid last week. And they didn't listen, or they didn't do, or they made a mistake in some way, but then they still let this go out. And I'm really frustrated because it just feels like I'm giving you this valuable information that you're paying me for. You're paying me for this service, and then you didn't even listen, or you didn't double check the seriousness of me being called in for to do this consulting should tell you something to begin with. And I understand, for some people, for many people, the screw you, old man, I'm not listening to what you have to say because I'm young and I know everything. But I think in many cases, there is a lot of wisdom that can come from someone who's had age and experience. Right? Maybe not. I don't know. But I think that you need to listen to that advice. And in the case of, I kind of lost it today, to be honest with you. I feel bad about that. Because I went in today and saw the quality product that they had put out, and I was like, why is this steel even out there? Why is this out there? Go out and retrieve all of the things that you put out. Take it down immediately. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, why? Why would you want this to continue to tarnish your already tarnished image? And so then they finally scrambled, and it's like, well, why didn't you do this yesterday when the problem was brought to your attention? Shrug of the shoulders. So the end result is I'm kind of angry. I told them what they needed to do. They finally acted. But it may be too little too late. Maybe it will be a valuable lesson. Maybe this mistake was the mistake that they needed to make. Maybe this mistake was good because even though it's going to have a cost consequence in that they're going to have to fix all the errors and it's going to cost them money to redo it, maybe that's exactly what they need to have happen so that they can learn a lesson. Now, the one thing that nobody took into account was we need to take ownership of this mistake. Instead of just letting it sit out there and let everybody fester and stew and get angry at us and say bad things about us, We need to take ownership of this situation. And I think if you make a mistake, you need to take ownership of that action. So I've already apologized. Todd, I'm so sorry that I was not paying attention and not doing the things that you told me to ensure that we've got this stream going out over the air. And I honestly hope right now it is going out of the air. I apologize, you viewers who have to see my unshaven face and you're not seeing the glorious smoking jacket that I wear week after week after week. I apologize for that. I'm going to try to do better. I had to have these guys send out a mass email to all of the people that are, to all of their valued members to apologize. They hadn't even thought about that. I got to give big props this week to Brian Ibbett over at Coverville. I mean, he may not want me airing this, but that's fine. Have you guys heard the Andrew Allen Trio Secret Identity double disc set? If you haven't, I suggest you try to get it. It's awesome. Andrew is fantastic jazz. If you want to hear, I'm sorry, this has got to be Wolverine here. I'll flip it over to a lesser known character here on the back. If you haven't heard their CD, if you haven't heard the songs, the music on here, what they've done is they've taken jazz renditions of famous Marvel and DC songs. So, for example, on the Marvel side, it's a two-disc set, by the way. You've got Spider-Man, which is their take on the 60s television cartoon theme. You've got X-Men theme from the 90s animated show. You've got Captain America's March from the 2011 movie. On the DC side, you've got the Batman 1989 movie theme. You've got Wonder Woman, their rendition of the 70s television theme. The Super Friends 70s theme, Teen Titans, so on and so forth. Great disc, great album. This was all made possible through a Kickstarter campaign that I started way back in March or April, I think. And for those of you who went to Nerdtacular, you were able to pick up a lot of your stuff, but maybe not all of your stuff. I decided I was going to wait because I didn't want to have to deal with carrying around a lot of other stuff and losing stuff. And so I just wait for it. Wait for it all to come together. And it's only came this week. But here's what Brian did. This is what is good. When you make a mistake and you want to apologize to people, you take ownership of it. And he sent out a little notice in this stuff this week. He says that if you haven't seen the updates on the Kickstarter page, the postcards are still being developed and you should see those in the next several weeks and in your hands soon after that. But because of the delay, I wanted to make this right. I wanted to give you both the print and the postcard set at no additional charge. You don't have to choose. I'm sorry about the delay and I want to make it up to you. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You make it up to people. Not only that, he threw in this really cool Coverville CD opener. For opening your CDs, because they're a pain in the butt to open up. That's how you take ownership of a situation. That's how you make things right. And I got to respect Brian for doing that. And I'm hoping that these people have learned a lesson that I'm consulting for. I felt bad because when I walked in today and saw the mess that had happened because they didn't listen and were doing their own thing again, I felt bad about taking their money. I really did. It's like I don't feel like what I've done has mattered at all because I've given you a bunch of suggestions to do. In fact, I've got like, here's like pages and pages of notes just from today on things that I've tasked them to do, things that they need to work on, things they need to think about going into next week. I don't know where I'm going with this. I had a good rant going on earlier today when I was driving home, but I also hadn't eaten anything and I had some peanut butter and I think that may have calmed me down. 785-727-1939, that is the number you want to call. For all you consultants out there, I apologize. I feel your pain. I understand where you're coming from. Why don't we do this quick break when we come back? Your phone calls, your comments, your suggestions, and I don't know, we'll have some other stuff coming up right after this.
Hey there, everyone. So it's movie season in the summer again, and a lot of things are happening. Superheroes are flying everywhere. Stuff is exploding. Fantasy stuff. But how did we get here in Hollywood, and what films led up to where we are today? Well, why don't you join us each week on Zach on Film, where we talk a classic film that has led to where we are in the current state of Hollywood. You'll maybe learn a few tips and tricks of filmmaking along the way, and we'll discuss a few things like the MPAA system, or what's the deal with aspect ratio, and all those kinds of things. So if that interests you, check out Zach on Film each Friday on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network.
All right, there we go. Thank you, young Zach, for that bit of stuff. 785-727-1939, that is the number that you want to call so that you can chat. And I said that we may have a special guest drop in this week. Hopefully she's on the line right now. Miss Ashley Victoria Robinson, how are you? Oh, maybe she's not there. Hello? Hello, Ashley? I hope I've got this working. Having some problems earlier. I know we're connected. Let's see if I can message her and see if she can hear me. Can you hear me now? No, I cannot hear you now. Let me see if I play this, if I can hear it. If I can hear this, then I should be able to hear you. Yep, I can hear that, so it's something on your end. Something on your end. We'll see if we can get this straightened out. In the meantime, now would be a good time to talk about the Red Shirt Diaries. If you have not been over to Jawin's YouTube channel, Jason Inman, you are missing out on a great show, the Red Shirt Diaries. I love it a lot. I think it's funny. If you are a fan of the original series and you wonder what happens below deck, you want to know what happens with the other members of the Starship Enterprise, well, Ashley is a red shirt, and she is filing a weekly log of events that are taking place. And interestingly, they coincide with actual episodes as they were released and as they air. I think I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. How are you?
Oh, I didn't have my mic plugged into the computer.
Wah, wah.
Like a smart person.
How are you doing?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Let me ask you, how do you take advice? Someone comes up to you, you're an actress.
I am.
And just somebody in the audience.
How
about this? You're walking down the street, and some person stops you and said, "Hey, I saw your Shakespeare thing last week, and I think you need to work on it a little harder," and then just walks on. How do you take that?
Well, if it was the last Shakespeare thing I was in, that would be a pretty adequate assessment of how it went.
All right, so maybe you're doing some self-reflection, right? You're doing some self-reflection.
Yeah. Okay. Unsolicited advice is tough, you know, especially when you're a person who creates content because it means a lot to you and you don't like to hear negative feedback on it.
Right. Nobody likes to hear negative feedback, right? But your director comes up to you and says, Ashley, you know, let's think a little bit more about where the character is in this situation. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Have you thought about approaching it this way? That's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, I love that. And it's the same thing, you know, writing and working with an editor or someone like yourself, and I make a mistake and then I am roundly corrected for it. That's all good stuff.
That mistake that you made this week was my fault because I didn't read everything carefully enough. I went back and I looked and said, that doesn't make sense. I better double check and make sure that this was okay. So that's my fault for not checking in with you sooner on that.
Nah. But I generally try to accept all of that stuff in stride. Like, there's no point in being offended by somebody who is trying to help you.
Right.
But a lot of it is the way it's presented to you, you know? If someone comes to you and is like, hey, have you thought about doing it this way? Mm-hmm. Versus saying, what you did was terrible. Why would you ever do that? You know, that goes a long way.
Right. Yeah, and so, you know, with these guys, I'm certainly trying to do that. I'm coming in and saying, hey, have you guys thought about doing this? You really should be doing this.
This is what our policy is.
Well, in fact, in many cases, it's like, have you developed a policy about this? You haven't, then this is something you need to work on. You know, those kinds of things. And, you know, I love getting advice or getting suggestions from people. A lot of times with a lot of our shows, show topics come from our listeners and the people that watch. You and Jason have made some really good suggestions, and I always like being pitched on ideas. But sometimes ideas don't work, and sometimes you have to say, nope, sorry, that's not going to work for what we're doing now. Or, hey, that's a great idea, go for it.
And just because someone tells you that your idea isn't great for this moment, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad idea or a bad suggestion.
Right. Exactly. But in this case, if you're paying somebody to say, make me better or make this thing better, and then you're told do A, B, and C and that will fix the problem, and they don't do A, B, and C and it comes out to be terrible, they can't blame the person that they've hired to come in and consult or to give them advice. They only have themselves to blame for not listening.
Exactly.
And that's where my frustration is coming from. Yeah. What is your favorite comic book that you read this? I'm tired of being grumpy about this.
That I read this week?
Yeah, what's your favorite comic that you read this week?
I read Wayward number 2, and I reviewed it for the site, and it was amazing. I hadn't read the first issue, so I went through both of those, and it's Jim Zub. This is his first thing that I think I've read. Really? And it was really, really amazing. And I was just really astonished that I'm always super impressed when a male writer can nail a young female voice.
Ah, okay. All right. Cool. That's what you like about this.
Yeah.
Have you read, but you haven't read any of this other stuff? Like Skull Kickers or something like that?
I've read a couple of issues with Skull Kickers, but this is the first series of his that I think I'm going to be following.
Oh, cool. Okay.
With rabid interest. So I'm real excited about that.
Good. Hey, you are a member of SAG-AFTRA, right?
I am SAG-AFTRA eligible, which means
you're not,
I know a lot of the policies if you have a question about it, though.
I do, because, and this has been floating around probably since about the time that we talked about it on an episode of Comic Dorks. Suddenly everybody seems to have latched onto it. What is this policy about typecasting and three times as an actor playing the same role and then backing truckloads of money up to your door, especially with Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr.? Are you familiar with this?
I am. It's actually, it's super cool when you're on my end of it, like the potential that it could happen. It's a film-only rule because obviously in television you're playing the same role week after week for potentially multiple years. What it is that SAG thinks, for some reason, I don't exactly know what the basis of this is, but they think that if you play the same role three times in a film, you know, a major studio budget, that you are in danger of becoming typecast, and that could ruin your career, which it has happened for some people.
Yes, for some people it has in the past. But again, I'm kind of with you. Today, it doesn't seem to be that way. Though, in the 1970s, if you said Harrison Ford, people said, oh yeah, Han Solo.
Yeah.
Or Indiana Jones.
I also feel like being typecast is getting work, so I don't see what the problem is. But
what happens if that franchise or that genre falls out, is no longer being made? Let's say they're no longer making Indiana Jones movies.
And well, if your agent isn't Robert Downey Jr.'s agent, then you could be in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, in the case of Harrison Ford, back in the 80s, if they said, okay, you know, you're now Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones, and only people associate him with that, and they stop making Indiana Jones movies, and every time he goes to get work, people don't see him as potential in Frantic or Witness or something like that. They only see him as smug Indiana Jones.
Exactly. And I think that role stemmed out of a lot of actors from the 60s and 70s kind of coming up against that similar problem. Mm-hmm. So if a studio hires you to play the same character in the same franchise for a fourth time, they have to pay you more than scale. And you're probably making more than scale anyway.
Hopefully.
And just for a frame of reference, scale for a major motion picture is about $60,000 for a couple months of work. So, you know, it's not a bad wage to make, but, you know, most actors are making a lot more than that. So they almost have to double what they're paying you for every subsequent film that you make. So that's all the Harry Potter kids have had that. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody from the original X-Men franchise has had that. And the idea is that it's to protect the actor and protect the integrity of their career. Mm-hmm. But now with the way that, you know, the Marvel movies are so successful and people are signing 9-picture deals, it's getting it seems a little crazy, at least from where I stand. And I could see that law getting stretched a little bit. Like if in your contract, there's a clause that says, okay, we're hiring you for XXX films and you agree to that, then we don't have to necessarily double your salary.
Yeah, that can be, I mean, that's negotiated. I mean, Samuel Jackson is a good example of this. I mean, after the first Iron Man movie appearance, it was basically he strolled in with a 9 or 10 picture deal where he was going to reprise that role no matter what. So I don't know if he can go back and renegotiate stuff or say, hey, I've already been typecast as
depends on the contract.
Right.
Sebastian Stan's the same way. I think he's on for 9 pictures.
Oh, wow. Cool. That's a good thing.
Everyone thinks Bucky Cap is on the horizon.
I'm kind of on one side with you in that if I want to go ahead and be in 9 movies and that's the way my contract is negotiated, at least it's work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what Agent Coulson's name. I forgot his name. Clark Gregg. That's right. He must have a pretty sweet deal. At least I hope he is, because I would imagine, like, in the first movie when he appears, he's probably making maybe a little over scale, right?
He's making day player rate day player rate, which is about $150 a day, depending on the project. He actually doesn't have a name in Iron Man.
Oh, that's right.
SHIELD agent.
Mm-hmm.
So his contract, I would assume, would have had to have been renegotiated around the time that Thor happened, when they made him a real part of the franchise, and they were probably already thinking about spinning off the TV contract.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's got a sweet deal now.
Oh, I'm
although,
sure he does.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. apparently did really bad. Their opening only got like 1 million views or so.
Oh, really? That's too bad. Because yeah. compared to Gotham, it got like 8 million views.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Wonder what else was going up against on, what were they going up against on Tuesday night in that same slot? Well, besides the Major Spoilers podcast.
Well, yes. I think maybe Scorpion and NCIS, oh, that's right. Yeah. The new one with Scott Bakula. Yes. I think they all premiered on Tuesday.
Okay. That may explain I don't know. It. There's probably a lot of NCIS fans out there. A lot of Scott
People
Bakula fans. I wonder, did you watch that Scott Bakula thing?
I didn't.
I wonder if instead of putting on sunglasses and the music swelling up like in CSI Miami, at the before they go to the opening credits, he just kind of looks at the camera and goes, whoa. Or what was his
oh
thing?
Boy.
Oh, no, oh boy. That's what it was. Oh boy.
Wiggles his eyebrows. It's funny. There's a lot of billboards around our neighborhood because we're like two neighborhoods over from where Burbank and all the studios are. Yeah. There's a ton of the billboards for the NCIS show, and they Photoshop his eyebrows down so much. It's really, really funny.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, I just wanted to confirm because I was not, and I didn't even know where to look on the website to find that kind of little clause when it comes to that three-picture deal. And I know that with Robert Downey Jr. in this case, he's played Tony Stark in three Iron Man movies, but he's also played Tony Stark in the Avengers. But it's not the same. Even though it's in the same cinematic
universe,
they're
technically different franchises.
Yeah, different franchises. So that's why nobody is quick to pick up Iron Man 4 because
that's exactly why.
They're going to have to back even more money up to Robert Downey Jr.'s house.
Well, and he's already making, I think, 15% off the back end.
Whoa.
On
top of his, $20, $50 million or whatever that he's making per movie?
Yeah, whoever his agent is probably someone at CAA, is literally the best person. He makes 15% off the back end of the Avengers.
Wow.
So
that is crazy.
He's not hurting at all.
No, he's not. Let me see if I can add somebody into this call. Maybe we can get two people going. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Nate O.
Hey,
what's
Nate,
up?
How are you doing? Ashley Robinson's on the phone here with us. We are talking about SAG, and we're talking about the three-picture deal with Robert Downey Jr. and just different things going on today, but we can talk with you and see what you want to where you want to take us.
Oh well, I wanted that's awesome because Ashley's awesome in the Richard Diaries.
We're Twitter friends.
Oh, there you go!
Yay!
Ashley is awesome in the Richard Diaries. If you guys haven't seen,
guys.
Yeah, it's really neat. Then the web comment is really cool too. That part is neat. A neat little addition to that.
I do like that. I do like that too. I do like the fact that you're tying into webcomics and other things. Soon merchandise, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see you in November.
I actually ordered the iPhone case.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. Jason has it too, and it freaks me out every time I see it.
Is it a Richard Diaries iPhone case?
Yeah, it's the orange poster with the little triangles on it and my angry face on it.
Is this over at richarddiaries.com?
There is a link to it there. It's through the, I don't remember what website it's through. But yeah, you can link to it.
It's also the Richard Diaries and its store or shop or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's one specific site.
Secondary site.
Yeah, you do want to make sure that you're going to the Richard Diaries, correct?
Yes, or else you'll go to a blog that hasn't been active since 2012 and wouldn't sell us the domain name.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah.
Or gal, or whoever that's running it. Oh, yeah, okay, I did see this.
Patrick.
I did see this iPhone case a couple of weeks ago. I know what you're talking about now.
I think I tweeted a picture of it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's 15 bucks.
Yeah. It'll go on my work phone.
Nice.
But actually, it was funny. I mean, I know you've already had your little vent there, but
sorry, man.
Working in IT. No. I completely feel you. I work in IT. I tell people what to do and how to protect themselves all day long, and then I walk in and it's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. No, I know what happened. You didn't listen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everybody is. I'm sure everyone has been in that place, right?
Right.
It's kind of like when you tell someone, hey, before you release this article, double check it for spelling errors or proofread it really good. And then they release it and it shows up in Time Magazine and it's full of errors. It's just like you want to smack your head and say, what were you guys thinking?
Yeah, so it's a daily battle for me. So, but I've learned to live with it.
I'm sure
that's why
have.
I have. That's why I enjoy all the Major Spoiler podcast stuff and everything that Jason and actually do. So, but actually, I had a question.
Okay.
With, you know, with Gotham and Flash and Constantine.
Say Constantine or Matthew will get on you.
I know.
And no amount of Red Bulls or Monster Energy drinks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's the wrath will come. do you think that DC is going to try to just, especially with all the movie issues and stuff like that, do you think they're just going to try to just corner the market on the small tube and just lock that down for the next 10 years?
I kind of mentioned that a couple of times, that it seems like DC understands one thing really, really well, and that's their direct to animated movie market,
mm-hmm.
where they just totally dominate and clean up, and they run circles around anything that Marvel Studios has been able to put out to date. They've got a lot of those movies are in an intertwined continuity, which is kind of cool too. What I think they finally figured out with the transition to Arrow is how to make this work really well in television. And I think if they do really well this year, they may corner that market on the superhero franchise on the small screen.
Right. Because I mean, there's really technically only, well, right, there'll be two soon, but I mean, Disney only has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, live action and stuff. So.
Well, they also have, what's that Happily Ever After show that they have going on? What is that? Once Upon a Time?
Once Upon a Time.
They have that, and that oddly ties into their animated movie franchise.
Yeah, because Elsa from Frozen is going to be on this week, apparently.
Yeah, I think both of them are supposed to show up in there.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. So cool. Ashley, do you have any thoughts on DC and their television empire?
I think whoever is casting the Teen Titans show needs to call me.
As?
I think, pardon me?
Who will you play?
Raven.
Oh, Raven.
So I don't have to smile too much. I could just show up and be grumpy. It would be so great. I think DC is doing a smart thing in that they're flooding the market with a lot of stuff. Like Arrow really set the bar for superhero TV shows like in the new era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're smart to flood the market with stuff, especially in the wake of people's waffling opinions about Marvel. And I think because they had such a strong animated universe, you know, even in the 90s to begin with, I think that's where they'll get still a lot of acceptance, even with the new movies. I'm trying to remain optimistic for Superman versus Batman. But there's a lot of stuff there that I know is making me sort of shake my head a little bit. But I love that there's more TV.
Yeah, as long as it's good TV, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arrow's great. Yep. So I'm along for the ride.
I'm about ready to start season 2.
Yeah, I enjoyed the second season. Yeah, I enjoyed the second season a lot better than the first season. But I've been kind of, I don't know what it is about the show, but it almost is like you have to watch it. But
totally.
I can't remember his name, but the guy who plays Captain Jack, when he showed up on it, I'm like, sold.
Oh, what's his name? No, I can't remember.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name, but I've seen him in some other things too, but he's just a great actor, and I was like, yep, sold, I'm good.
John Barrowman, name.
John Barrowman, yeah.
It's kind of funny that you just type in Captain Jack and an autofill automatically hits Harkness right away, so.
Doesn't go to fan fiction immediately?
No, it doesn't. It actually pops up his wiki page and everything. So
nice.
Yeah, I like that a lot too.
Well, I will leave you guys. Friday's always Taekwondo night, so I got to go get dressed and hopefully get promoted tonight.
Promoted to what belt?
It'd be recommended black belt. So the next belt I test for will actually be a black belt.
So this is a recommendation for black belt? How does that work?
Well, it's there's basically they go through in the higher levels. They go through two different types of testing. So you have your recommended, and then you have your decided.
Ah, okay.
So your recommended is basically okay. You kind of know the form. You understand a few things. All right, you broke a couple of boards. You're good. The decided one is your form is locked down. It looks smooth. It's good, and you can break some more boards. So that's pretty much what those different levels are set. So,
well, good luck.
It'll be nice too. Yeah, it'd be nice too, because then I'll have an instructor stripe and my black stripe. So, and just want to let you know, the Alpha Geek Radio, working like a trap.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
The only thing that kind of cut out was when you went to Zach. So when you went to video, it kind of just went. I didn't hear anything. It was dead noise.
Okay, and then I will fix that. So. I will fix that and keep that. made awares in the future. So thank you. So,
all right, guys. Well, have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Good work.
Good luck.
I can't wait till Sunday night. New episode. Yay. All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks,
so, Ashley, talk to me a little bit about the production of Red Shirt Diaries.
Oh, my God. It's an idea that I've had for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and I had no idea how to do it. And then I met Jason, who's huge in the YouTube world, and he was like, we could do this. It'll be super easy. And it turned out to be really hard. We shot over the course of 2 days on a Saturday and a Sunday because Jason was working full time.
Oh, and he was still working? Or was he working full time with
Rhett and Link?
Rhett and Link at that time?
Yeah, we shot in April.
Oh, okay. All right.
We've had this in the can for a while. And we built the whole set and taped it to a wall and then didn't move it. And I never realized I knew logically that things like lighting was super important.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until we got in that, it was a very like intimate shooting space. We probably had 5 feet from the wall.
I was going to say, it looks very close.
It is. And the idea of it being in the quarters and being logs is that we don't change angles. So that makes the shooting and editing process super, super streamlined.
Right.
For me, it was pretty easy because all I had to do was show up and say my lines. Jason and I rehearsed before we brought all of our other cast members in.
Mm-hmm.
So we more or less knew what was going on. We allotted 2 hours for each episode. We finished most of them before that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It was some of them, episode 5 and episode 7 and episode 9 are all one take episodes.
Oh, excellent.
So, you know, maybe we spent maybe half an hour shooting them, but then episodes like Charlie X, we had like black paper up on the light to create that triangle in the background, which is really iconic from the shots of the original series, and I knocked it and ruined all the lighting. So it took us closer to 3 hours because we had to fix it.
Ouch.
Yep. So most of the mistakes were my fault. In fact, I would say all of them because I busted up a lot. I have a hard time not laughing at stuff, which I think is sort of evident. And then everyone we worked with was super great and really open. And we've had it in the can. It was just a matter of time where, because Jason was editing it as well, and he wasn't supposed to originally, but our original editor bailed on us.
Oh, okay.
So it was a matter of, does he have the time? Do I have the time to come and look at the final edits? Then we needed to make a website, which I've never done before.
That's a good looking website.
Yeah, that's all Jason. I just helped pay for part of it. That's what I've come to realize through doing this process is...
producer means giving up a lot of money and time.
Yeah, a lot. It's not a lot of money. Like, it hasn't bankrupted me by any amount. But, like, the idea of, like, oh, we should pay for advertising. Okay, so that's X number of dollars. Oh, we should have a website. Okay, that's X number of dollars. Oh, we should have a store. Okay, that's X number of dollars.
Did you go... you went to more... forgive me if I'm wrong. From when you were on the Major Spoilers podcast several months ago, we talked a little bit about your acting. Did you go to a school to learn mostly theater acting, or was it all sorts of acting for all media?
The school that I went to here in Hollywood, which also has a campus in New York, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, it's a pretty good mix of both, especially out in Los Angeles, because LA is obviously TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things, we had to take an entrepreneurship class, which was more about creating a business plan.
Right.
We didn't have any courses in new media, which I think was a mistake, because for actors who are trying to sort of make a name or a calling card for themselves, new media is a great place to start.
Yes.
I've had to learn a lot of it through trial and error. Red Shirt Diaries is a SAG after approved production because I sat on the website for 4 days and figured out how to do that and called the office until they approved.
What does that entail then?
It's a lot of paperwork.
Oh, okay.
So you have to submit your project idea before you shoot, and then 30 days before you shoot, you have to submit all your scripts, and they all have to be approved. And if you're working in parody and satire, you have to prove in your script that it's like parody and that you're covered under that law,
right?
That you're not like infringing on somebody's copyright in a like legally questionable way,
yes.
And then send all those in, and then we had paperwork. We had to have a call sheet. We had to have everyone sign in and sign out. I had to have something called a Taft-Hartley, which is when you have a non-union actor working on a union production. They have to sign it, And then I, as the producer, have to give a reason why we hired them versus hiring union talent. Okay.
So this was a whole union job?
Yeah.
Then how did you have to pay union rates then? Day rates for everybody or?
New media is really interesting because SAG also has a whole section called ultra low budget production, which is less than $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And new media, a lot of the productions that work for new media either are no pay or ultra low budget pay. Mm-hmm. So we worked under those clauses. And if you don't, we didn't have anyone on set more than 8 hours except for Jason and I.
Right.
But that was mostly setting up and breaking down stuff. So if you work within that time frame, then it's only if you go into overtime that you have to begin paying like union rates.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad then. That's actually a pretty good deal then.
Yeah. It's just, are you willing to sit and do all the paperwork? And we set our final paperwork in April, and I haven't heard anything from them. So it's been a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's...
It's not hard. It's just tedious.
So does this give you any added benefits for being in this kind of a production?
It does for me personally, because you need X number of SAG credits before you're eligible to join the union.
Okay.
And then that's attractive if we had 3 union actors on the shoot, and then if we go into a season 2 and we want to think about expanding our cast and maybe going after some bigger name talent, we can say, hey, we're a SAG official production. We're not just sitting here, you know, twiddling our thumbs.
Right.
It lends a lot of credibility to what you're doing.
Yeah, and so then that makes it easy. How many did you have some SAG actors on this production?
Yeah, we had 3.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
Yeah.
So
Kirstina Jefferson, who was our Uhura.
She's really good. I like her.
She's great. We got her basically because we were like, we're SAG. And she was like, all right, I'll come do this.
Yeah, she was really good. I like her a lot. And so then that just makes it so now you are just, what do you need now to get your SAG card?
$3,000 to pay the dues.
Ah. And that's an annual fee, right?
It is. It goes down from there. But that's the initial I'm joining for the first time. I've elected not. A lot of people join immediately out here.
Mm-hmm.
I've elected not to until I start getting regular union work. Because
right.
I'm still getting non-union work that pays.
Yes.
And I don't want to burn that bridge.
Yes.
Or until I need American health insurance. Because SAG has really good health insurance.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that I'm going to have to face sooner rather than later. But I'm kind of spinning the wheels on that right now.
When do you think you will decide?
Probably within the next couple years. Next year. Okay. My manager get on me about it. They're like, people will take you more seriously if you're in the union. So
yeah, but you're right, because it does hinder your ability to do non-union stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
It's also the whole like politics of Los Angeles and like being an actor and jumping through these hoops to get to the next hoop. And
well, what do you think about the new policy on the tax breaks that they're giving everybody to try to keep more productions in California?
I don't mind it. Most productions, actually, unless it's a huge, you know, unless it's something like TV or movie, don't offer travel expense or reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
So if they keep it all local, I mean, that's easier on me. I think it's not going to, because California is a scorched piece of earth right now.
Yeah,
we're in like the worst drought in like 30 years. So I think people will still go to places like Georgia and South Carolina to shoot. And also because no one there is jaded about working in the entertainment industry. So I think you can get a lot more done on a smaller budget.
Yeah.
Everyone here wants hundreds of dollars to use their location and put my son in this.
That's part of the reason why California got into that problem to begin with. Is because everybody was like, let's jack the prices up on these guys because we know they're making millions of dollars. And then that forced them to go
Except
out of
town. Except it's so very few people who are making that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, listener. Who's this?
What it's caller? Chris. What's up, man?
Hey, Chris. Chris, have you met Ashley?
I have not. Wow. It's like talking to the Queen of England. She's famous, isn't she?
We're meeting just now.
What's going on with you, Chris?
Hi, I'm leaving work to go to work. Leaving my full-time job to go to the comic store.
Good. What is that?
Yeah,
so have you been in this week already? To the comic book store?
I ran in Wednesday just to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was basically
what is the big seller this week?
I don't know. I'm sure it's probably something Future's End that nobody likes.
You think?
But I couldn't say. I haven't. I've been out of town, and then so I haven't seen any of the sales. But and stuff. I mean, we got people buying both covers.
Yeah. This week was the motion covers again.
Yeah.
And Booster Gold.
I did get that one. I got the Booster Gold one. I like that one.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good.
I'm super excited.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I did get it.
I read The Flash. I'm going to review that. I got to write that tonight.
Futures,
that
Flash Futures End?
Yeah. Yeah, that one shows, that one ties up the Wally West thing.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah, yeah. Cool. Have either of you read the Action Comics from last week? Last week Action Comics?
I haven't. It's in my pile.
Okay. Apparently it has a spoiler alert, a Superboy Prime punch event at the end of that issue.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well,
I'm totally going to have to look at that.
If it means bringing back the multiverse in a true form, I'm all for it. So I'm just trying to run down.
Well, the booster issue also talks about that.
Yes. I want to just see Ted Kord back.
Me
too. Without a bullet hole in his head.
Yeah.
Trying to see what else came out this week that was a big seller, or could have potentially been a big to-do. There was no Death of Wolverine this week.
There was a new Prelude to Spider-Verse, or whatever that series is called.
Oh, yeah, everybody's kind of big on the Gwen Stacy thing.
God, it was so good. It was so good.
Edge of Spider-Verse. Huh? That was Edge of Spider-Verse number 2. This one's Edge of Spider-Verse number 3.
I think there's one coming out every week until Spider-Verse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, there is. Unfortunately. I have the problem of being on the retailer side, so, like, I get excited for things, but then it's like, oh, goddammit, I gotta make space for this stuff. Yeah. How am I gonna make space for a weekly Deadpool comic? You know? He's already got 50 books on the shelf. Now I gotta... You know.
Got to make room for 4 more for the month.
Yeah.
Ashley, you used to work at a comic book store, didn't you?
I did. I worked at a store called Blast Off in North Hollywood. It was awesome.
And what did you do? Just mostly stock and counter stuff, or did you have a specific job duty?
No, there was only 2 of us, me and the owner, who worked at the shop at the time, so I did everything.
Ah, cool.
So you know where Chris is coming from. I stood and laughed at people's bad jokes. I do, and... sometimes your tastes don't necessarily go along with buyer's taste, and so you have to take your favorite book off the shelf to put Deadpool Killustrated on the shelf, and that kills you a little bit inside. And you've got 500 issues of something in the back. Yeah.
And then you got the people that won't sign up for an issue, and then, it sells out, and it's like, can I sign up for this one? Well, okay. Why don't you order the first issue when you knew it was coming out? Now mm-hmm. we gotta track down Southern Bastards number 1. It looks awesome.
Or they'll wanna drop something and they won't tell you, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best too. It's the guys who don't want the book, so they just try to sneak it back on the shelf. I think you had that book in your hand when I gave it to you. I know you did.
Well, I think Matthew and I snagged potential reviews from you guys this week, because I think both of you were interested in Gotham Academy for next week.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I got Batgirl though, so I can live with that.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm really looking forward to Gotham Academy.
Yeah, me too.
I'm gonna talk to Babs Tarr this weekend at Long Beach. If you want me to tell her anything.
What?
Yeah, she's going to be there. So I emailed her and was like, I'll bring you coffee if you let me talk to you.
Is that going
to
be for an official interview on the site, or what are you going to do with that?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Cannot wait. She's just, I mean, holy crap, this book.
Also,
I just cannot wait for this book to come out. I don't know why I'm excited about it. Why are you guys excited about it? Either Batgirl or
Gotham.
I
need it to be good.
What, Gotham Academy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like something different, right? But, like, I
don't know that I've really read before.
I hope it's different.
My own side, but, you know?
I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't turn into like Harry Potter Jr. or something.
No. Yeah.
Oh, see, I heard it described as Batman meets Harry Potter, and I was like, I'm there. I'm totally there.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's awesome, but unfortunately, it'll probably be like so awesome and unique that nobody's going to buy it, and it'll be canceled in like 12 issues.
No,
I don't know if nobody's going to buy it. I think a lot of people are going to buy it. My concern is that it's going to be so good because it doesn't follow the mainstream of what DC quote unquote normally does that they're going to find a reason to shelve it or delay it or
something.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It'll be its own thing, and people won't like it because of that. Probably the first issue will sell, and then it's just going to drop 40% next issue and then issue three.
I can't remember.
I mean, we're only getting it because there's a show called Gotham coming.
You think?
Yeah, out, and they need more titles with that name in it.
I
do, and I think it's the same thing with the Arkham Asylum book.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently
it's coming out
the
same time as well. But I'll take it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I as far as the Gotham Academy goes. I thought that that book and Arkham Manor were both like fill-in books while they were starting their move over to the West Coast. And that they weren't...
That could definitely be a thing. I don't... Go ahead.
Yeah, and that they weren't really thinking that this was going to be some long-term thing to begin with.
If it sells really well, though, it might be.
I hope so. I really hope these sell... Both of those, Batgirl and Gotham Academy. I hope they sell wonderfully. I hope they go through the roof as far as sales go. Chris, anything else you want to share with us this week?
Just a real brief story that I'm sure you'll appreciate. Okay. I woke up this morning to my son handing me some Legos saying I broke these. Uh-oh. And it was the dinosaur from the female scientist set.
Uh-oh.
And the tail went. We can't find the tail.
It's probably down the heating register.
I don't know. I was like, oh, out of all the damn things you could have lost Easton to, it had to be that one. Now Steven Schleicher doesn't get a set. I'm kidding.
No. Yeah, I think we've kind of decided that my oldest Mason, he has his Lego that he can do whatever he wants with. And Mason's okay with his younger brother, who's three, playing with the Lego. But I think they both come to the conclusion that those are just build whatever you want kind of Legos and not set building stuff because they have broken and lost pieces already. So we'll see what happens with that.
I feel like the dad from the Lego movie sometimes, stop taking it apart.
Yep.
I'm tired of losing Luke Skywalker's hair.
Yes. In fact, I have a stormtrooper who has lost a helmet, and we've put on just a generic guy hair on him.
Yeah.
And he's either tag or bink at this point, just because he doesn't have a helmet and he's running around in a stormtrooper outfit.
That's awesome.
All right, Chris, you have a great week, and we will talk with you real soon.
Have a good one.
Yep,
bye.
So I went and picked up some new Lego this week. I mentioned this on the Major Spoilers podcast. In fact, Mason is very interested in actually playing with the Lego Friends. He's going to do a Lego build for us on the Major Spoilers YouTube channel. And
that's awesome.
The first time he saw these, he's like, no, those are for girls. But we've been talking, and I think he's starting to come around to say, hey, Lego is Lego. I get to build something. Plus, I think the added bonus is that he gets to be on a video on his dad's website. But I like this Lego Friends set. I'm not really sure about the figures.
Was he bothering you to be back on the podcast?
What's that? Oh, he's bugging me to get back on the podcast.
So wasn't he bothering you to be back?
Yeah. I think we're going to do something. I'm not sure.
That's so funny.
So this is a magic set. And this is a really cool set, but here's the thing that spoils it. On the back, they show you how the magic trick is done.
No,
that's not how you do that. So one more thing before we get out of here this week, Ashley. I got this in.
That's terrible.
I was saving this. This is a black FedEx thing black package that arrived yesterday, and there's something in it, and I wanted to show it, save it, and show it off on this week's Finally Friday episode. So I'm going to just open this up.
Okay.
And see what's inside. There is a box. Oh, this is from Star Wars Rebels, is where this is from. So there's some press material stuff on here. I'll probably not show the contact stuff. On the back, this card says, on behalf of the Holodeck News, or Holonet News, we would like to welcome you to the Imperial Press Corps. The enclosed badge grants you official inclusion into the ranks of the most esteemed journalists across the galaxy. As a bearer of this badge, you have the authority to make public and report all transgressions against our empire. Yours, the Galactic Vigilance. And then it's got some cool stuff in here. So here's this thing. Let me open it up here so you guys can see it. An unboxing. Ah, cool. I don't know which is the right way. Look at that. It's a big-ass pin.
That's so cool.
That's got to be, that's about, what, three and a half inches across? I don't know what that is in metric, Ashley, so you're probably a little confused when I say inches. But
seven centimeters or so?
7 centimeters. Holy crap. This is a weighty little pin. It's even got two pins and little connectors on the back. Look at that. Somebody at home will translate that lettering to see what it stands for. That is kind of cool. I may have to put this on and wear it later. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lucasfilm, for sending that out my way. That's neat. That almost makes up for this frustrating Friday and makes it a happy Finally Friday. All right.
Is that the alternate title? Frustrating Friday.
Before we get out of here, I have a bunch of these Critical Hit bookmarks. If you want one, just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Major Spoilers, 1309 West 44th Street, Hayes, H-A-Y-S, Kansas, 67601. SAZY, that's a self-addressed stamped envelope. Put it in the mail. We'll get one of those out to you. And you can be a big continuing fan of Critical Hit. All right, I do have to get out of here because it is time to go pick up the boy. It is time to go to soccer practice. He's got a soccer game tomorrow, and I think he's excited about that. I think he's more excited about playing Disney Infinity with the new Marvel figures, and they look fantastic. We bought them all. He doesn't get to play with them until tonight. So he's super excited about that, so we're going to go try that. And then tomorrow, for those of you who are VIP Gold members, we do have our monthly chat. It'll be Zach and I and maybe a surprise guest. I don't know. We're going to sit down and answer your questions over at members.majorspoilers.com. So if you want to get in on that, go over there and sign up today. Ashley, thank you so much for sitting in. I hope I didn't ruin your entire afternoon.
No, it was fantastic. Good. I have no plans for my afternoon.
Well, thank you for taking the time and chatting with us. And as I've said before, you are welcome back anytime you want. So if you're not
thank
doing
you.
Anything
thank
next
you for
week,
having me.
Just jump back on. Let me know.
I will.
All right. Everybody, go check out theredshirtdiaries.com. Go check out the videos there. You can go check out the videos on the Major Spoilers website. You can go buy some of the Red Shirt Diaries merchandise. I would say I would get an iPhone case, but I got the new iPhone 6 Plus coming, and I don't see a case for that.
Don't bend it.
No, I'm not worried about bending it. I'm not worried at all about bending it. So, all right, Ashley, you have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. And listeners, thank you once again for being a part of the Major Spoilers experience and tuning in each and every week with the things that we do. Sorry, I got a little grumpy there at the beginning of the show. But talking with friends, co-workers, and talking with you is always fun, always puts me in a better mood. And I think I'm ready to go into the weekend. I think I'm ready to go have some fun now that it's finally Friday. And I hope that you're ready to have a good weekend, too. And take care, and we will see you again real soon.